WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
We have an enthusiastic bell ringer this morning. Well done, Jamie. Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all. Glad to have you here on this Sunday morning. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, watching on our YouTube channel, or listening on the radio, we're always happy to have you along. Our liturgists today are Emily Fuchs and Rose Kleinert. Our radio sponsor this morning is Cheryl Steiber, honoring our dedicated church custodian, Chris Garcia. Dedication well-deserved, I would say. I don't have any announcements that aren't in the bulletin, but Rose, I think, has one for us quick.
I don't know if it's possible, but today it has to be. After the service, before our annual meeting begins, please feel free to grab a small snack and a cup of coffee to put something in your gut before lunch. And hopefully we'll be out of here by 10:30.
When we are released is up to you, Rose. You're in charge. I want to read for you our welcome that goes out to the whole world. This is one that we adapted from the welcome statement of the McFarland UCC. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. First United Church of Christ in Sauk City is an open and affirming congregation. Whoever you are, whatever brought you here, however you identify, whoever you love, whatever your circumstances, you are welcome here. We believe that everyone is precious in God's eyes. We believe in second chances. We believe we all need each other. And we believe with all our hearts that God is with us and God is love, and love always wins. And so we welcome friends, neighbors, and strangers, the subtle, the seeking, the curious, and we welcome all of you. So now, settle in to where you're sitting. Close your eyes if you would like to. Take a deep breath. God is in this place. Each breath you take is a gift of love. Rose will lead us in our call to worship this morning. If you're able, would you please stand?
Hear the words of Jesus.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
You are my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you.
I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Please remain standing while we sing our opening hymn, Come, O Fount of Every Blessing, in our New Century Hymnal, number 459. Join me, please, in our morning prayer. Holy One, we confess we often are not the people we should be. We are not the church you called us to be. We will never save the world. We will never revive this congregation. This is the truth we confess. But we also confess, Holy God, your love for us and for our world, that in you, goodness, you forgive your failure, and in our kindness, you cover up our deficiency. And so we trust that your grace has saved us, your Spirit will revive us. For all of this, we are grateful. Amen. There is no wrong you can confess for which you have not already and long ago been forgiven. This is the gospel for you today, the good news, by which we are made whole and for which we say out loud, thanks be to God.
Amen.
Be seated, please. Our invitation to this table this morning is our communion song, All Our Days. We'll stay seated as we sing. The words will be on the screen. This is the welcome table, made ready for all who are hungry and for everyone who wonders what not being hungry might feel like. So whoever you are, wherever you come from, however you identify, whatever brought you here today, you are welcome. All of who you are is precious to God, and every part of you is welcome to the bread and the juice at this table. Remember, it was Jesus himself who said, "Come to me, all of you who labor under heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am meek and gentle of spirit, and here at this table you will find rest." Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, we are grateful for the creation, for the gift of life, for your abiding love, for you are the source of all that is good. We thank you for calling us to walk together in the way of Jesus, for breathing life into us, and we thank you for this bread of life and cup of salvation, offering to us the presence of Christ. Bless us now in our eating and drinking, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the living Christ at this table, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. We remember that night when Jesus sat at table with his friends, how he took a simple loaf of bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat, remember me." After supper, he took a cup, and he gave thanks for that, and gave that to his friends, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. When you drink, remember me." We come to this table every Sunday morning. We eat and we drink in the company of each other, in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming as we do what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. So come. Everything is now ready. bread of life given for you. Gather the bread of life given for you. The bread of life given for you. The bread of life given for you. Would you pray with me, please? Bountiful God, we give thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. As this bread has been broken to make us whole, and this cup overflows with your grace, now pour us out to be a blessing to all your people. Walk with us through the darkness. Awaken us to your light. To your light. Bring us closer and closer to you. Amen. Well, this is too bad. I have a really good book to read to the kids. Instead, I'm going to read it to you. Pretend you're seven. This is called the invisible string. I'm not going to show you the pictures, though. You can use your imaginations. Liza and Jeremy, the twins, were asleep one calm and quiet night. Suddenly it began to rain very hard. Thunder rumbled until it got so loud it woke them up. "Mommy, Mommy," they cried as they ran out to her. "Don't worry, you two. It's just the storm making all that noise. Go back to bed." "We want to stay close to you," said Jeremy. "We're scared." Mom said, "You know, we're always together no matter what." "But how can we be together when you're out here and we're in bed?" said Liza. Mom held something right in front of them, and she said, "This is how." Rubbing their sleepy eyes, the twins came closer to see what Mom was holding. "I was about your age when my mom first told me about the invisible string." "I don't see a string," said Jeremy. "You don't need to see the invisible string. People who love each other are always connected by a very special string of love." "But if you can't see it, how do you know it's there?" asked Liza. "Even though you can't see it with your eyes, you can feel it with your heart, and you know that you were always connected to everyone you love. When you're at school and you miss me, your love travels all the way along the string until I feel it tug on my heart. And when you tug it right back, we feel it in our hearts," said Jeremy. "Does Jasper the cat have an invisible string?" Liza said. "She sure does," said Mom. "And my best friends like me and Lucy?" asked Liza. "Best friends too. How far can the string stretch?" "Anywhere and everywhere," Mom said. "Would it reach me even if I was in a submarine deep under the ocean?" asked Jeremy. "Yes," Mom said, "even there." "Or a mountain climber?" "Even there." "Or a ballerina in France?" "Even there." "A jungle explorer?" "Even there." "How about an astronaut out in space?" "Yes, even there." Then Jeremy quietly asked, "Can my string reach all the way to Uncle Brian in heaven?" "Yes," Mom said, "even there." "Does the string go away when you're mad at us?" "Never," said Mom. "Love is stronger than anger. And as long as love is in your heart, the string will always be there. Even when you get older and can't agree about things like what movie to see, or who gets to ride in the front seat, or what time to go to bed." "Oh, that's right. You two should be in bed." And with that, they all laughed as Mom chased the twins back to their bed. Within a few minutes, they were all asleep, though the storm was still making the same loud noises outside. As they slept, they started dreaming of all the invisible strings they have, and all the strings their friends have, and their friends have, and their friends have, until everyone in the world was connected by the invisible string. And from deep inside, they could now see no one is ever alone. Amen. We have a choir anthem.
Misplaced. scripture this morning is a reading from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'"
Thank you, Emily. Very nice choir anthem, by the way, everybody. It was beautiful. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 15 and just verse 12. These are the words of Jesus. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This ends our readings for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, those words are always true. We can always trust them. Would you please pray with me? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I've been thinking a lot over the past few months about death and resurrection. Not just death, but also resurrection. I am not a completely morose Debbie Downer pessimist, though sometimes I feel like it. But I almost never think about death without pairing it with resurrection. Whenever I see something that is precious to me slipping from my grasp, my first inclination is to wonder, what now? What comes next? I believe there is always a next. So I will be 72 years old in a couple of months. That used to be very old. Now it's just old. And, you know, perhaps after all, not so worrisome. I mean, who knows? If I follow in my mom's footsteps, I have 15 years ahead of me. If I follow in her mom's footsteps, I have 25 years ahead of me. Or if I read the life insurance actuarial tables, I might be 25 minutes from now when I discover that what's next part. In any event, the path ahead of me on this earth is much, much shorter than the path I've traveled so far. Thinking about death gives you the opportunity to sort of mourn things in advance, the things that you must inevitably lose. And if you have half lived your life, those things most precious that you're losing will likely be the people you have loved and the people who have loved you. The good thing that comes from contemplating the inevitable loss of your loves is that this inevitability puts the value of these relationships on a bright technicolor display. In other words, the value of the time you have left increases exponentially as the length of time left decreases. If I have a close friend who I expect to have in my life for a long time to come, I can afford to be a bit casual about the time that we spend together. If, on the other hand, she tells me she's been diagnosed with a terminal disease and has 3 months to live, every moment of those final months becomes immeasurably more precious to us. Dying, you see, has a way of focusing your attention on the things that matter most. And the thing it directs my attention to is the possibility, the hope of resurrection. You see, I think, I don't always believe this, but I think the universe is so crazy, so wildly beautiful and good and mysterious, so infused with godness that I really can't imagine how my last breath or anyone's last breath can mark the final end to our experience of this wildly beautiful reality. I believe we don't come to final endings in our relationships or in our own lives. Instead, we come to transitions. We come to what the New Testament writers called resurrection. We come to whatever it is that comes next. And this is why, on my good days, the ancient creed still speaks for me, and I still believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, everything I've said so far is important. Some of it, I imagine, is even true. But most of my thinking about death and resurrection over these last few months has been related to things other than my body that is declining toward resurrection. I've been thinking about the things that people build, for instance, like our institutions. If, for example, you've paid a little attention to the news lately, you know that American democracy, the institution that defines who we are as a civil society, is on life support right now. Tragically, our democratic way of governing ourselves may not survive the next election. Something will come next, of course, because resurrection always happens. But not every next thing is good. Not every resurrection brings life and happiness. If we lose our democracy, that will be especially troubling for the planet, for the security of our international neighbors, and for the lives of our poor, black, brown, queer, and immigrant neighbors. So be careful. Choose wisely. Or take the church for another example. American Christianity, following Christianity in Europe over the last 100 and some years, is in a steepening decline. The church that we all grew up with, that most of us still love, is becoming less and less relevant to more and more people. This is true pretty much across the religious board. Over the next couple of decades, we will almost certainly close many more churches than we open. But here's the thing. If we talk about this honestly, if we prepare for it faithfully, this coming death and pending resurrection of the church will bring us to new hope. Hope and perhaps a considerable excitement. Because while the church as we have known it may be fading away, the body of Christ, the gathering of Jesus' followers enlivened by the Holy Spirit, will always keep coming back. We will, if we are willing to do the necessary talking and thinking and praying and working together, always be resurrecting in new and sometimes surprising ways. By the grace of our Creator, you see, the body of Christ is the communion of saints who believe as best as they are able in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We are the people who trust that love always wins and grace will see us through, even though we may have no idea what that future will look like. This is why I have suggested several times over the last 2 years that this congregation, First United Church of Christ in Sauk City, in this interim time, needs to engage in a conversation about your future while you still have the time and energy and resources to listen and to learn and to act. This is not something an interim pastor or any pastor for that matter can do for you. This is your work. It is for you, for this church, or some portion of this congregation to come together to pray and talk and imagine what it is you're being drawn into. Your work is to discern and to dream God's dream for this congregation and for this community of Sauk City. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to sit together and wait, especially to wait for the word of direction from the Spirit of God that will certainly come at the proper time. You will receive power, Jesus promised his disciples just before he left them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. I can't tell you what to do. I can help you convene the conversation, but it's not my dream to dream. It's yours. I can, however, give you the framework for your dream because it's found in the story that Emily read just a few minutes ago. This guy comes to Jesus with a question. Teacher, he asks, which commandment is first of all? By which he means, what does God want from us? When all is said and done, in order for us to dream God's dream, what should we do? Without hesitation, Jesus answers and tells him, do this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is nothing you have to do more important than these. We can be sure that our future is uncertain. It will be at times dangerous and challenging, and at other times beautiful and life-giving. This is the strange setting in which the church will live going forward. Some will prosper in this time, many will likely fail. But this will be true about the church moving into tomorrow, because this has always been true from the beginning. Future gatherings of Jesus' followers, who are living as the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in the world, will be people known for two things: for their radical devotion to the God who is love, and to their radical affection for their neighbors. They will love as they are loved because they are loved, and they will be more concerned for the well-being of the poor and oppressed in their communities than they are for the preservation of their heritage or their buildings. They will follow in the way of Jesus by gladly and openly and sometimes loudly welcoming into their fellowship the very people most other churches still condemn and reject. In other words, they will love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind and strength, and they will love their neighbors as themselves because they know there is no other commandment greater than these. It is very fitting, it seems to me, that we're reading this story on the day when we are about to conduct the annual meeting of the congregation. This is a very important day in the life of any church. Today, by the actions you take and the plans you set in motion, you will be defining the dream that you are dreaming for First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. You will be describing how you intend to live out that dream among all your neighbors. That's what this meeting is for. So here is my best bit of interim pastoral advice for this day. In each discussion and before each decision, ask yourselves, is this action we are considering an expression of our gratitude toward God? Before you set any plan in motion, ask yourselves, will this improve the life of a neighbor? Because when all is said and done, it comes down to this. This is the Creator's dream for this church and every church: that we love God with all we've got, that we serve our neighbors with all that we have. There is no other commandment greater than this. Amen. This is the time for us to open ourselves and join in prayer.
I need to push the button until it lights
How's that? Do I have a Jamie, thank you. Who or for what are we praying today? Where do we need this promised spirit? Where have you seen the presence of God in the world today? Liz?
I'd like to have a prayer said for the family of Denny Meng, who passed away this week. I think he was confirmed in this church. I'm not sure, but I think he was.
Okay.
But his family does need lots of prayers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Over to Cliff.
Pastor Brad, I'm going to feel sorry for you at 72. But I don't think so. Will you get, you can say, I'm 85 and still alive. And speaking of that, today is March 3rd. It doesn't happen very often to come on a Sunday, but March 3rd is my dad's birthday. And he was born in 1903, the 3rd of March at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Guess what his lucky number was? Anyway, he was quite a character and a bull of a man, and he could tell a story. He could give an opinion. He could tell a joke at the drop of a hat. Reverend Wentz said when he did his funeral that he never knew what was going to come out of his mouth, but he always knew where he stood. And well, that's all I got to say about that. Happy birthday, Dad.
And you kind of sort of followed in his footsteps. Thanks, Cliff. That's a wonderful memory to share. Up here to Kathy.
I saw the face of God on Wednesday evening when we got together for our soup supper, and the discussion was communion. And we received communion in a very touching way, I guess you'd say. We all formed a circle, and we broke a piece of bread off and dipped the bread in the wine, and we gave communion to each other. It was very, very good.
Thank you. Our Wednesday soup supper this week, by the way, the topic is baptism, which would be an interesting one, too.
I saw the face of God just a few minutes ago as you were preaching, and you were talking about a friend who had cancer, and the light shone through the windows just as you were saying that.
I missed that. Peggy.
I just like to it was a special day on March 1st, on Friday, and would have been my mom and dad's 70 years of marriage that they were married on. And, my dad's been gone for a long time, but, you know, he's always with us, and my mom, like everybody else, misses him, and it was a wonderful day.
You don't forget the people who shaped your life. Like that. Okay. Let's hold all of these concerns in prayer together, and then we will conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Let's pray. Lord, you said once upon a time, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That is a promise we claim this morning for all of our friends who have lost those they love and who are in mourning and wondering how they will take the next step. By the Spirit you have promised to us, gracious God, give them comfort and strength to move on. And we are grateful beyond words for the people in our lives who have shaped us and helped us and blessed us and been with us for so many years, especially for those we have loved that long and have lost. Grateful for a world in which love is possible, and when you feel it, you know it, and you are very, very grateful for it. And we are grateful for this morning. We pray, gracious God, for this world of yours that is in so much disarray these days. We pray for your spirit to be in the rooms where people are making difficult decisions, nudging them, pulling them in the right way to go, to give us peace, to give us care and concern and love for all of our neighbors, whoever they are, however they are presented to us. God, give us the grace to be people who love in every situation. And hear us as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our invitation to the offering this morning comes from the Gospel of John. This is chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there is a lot of room. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." We will receive our morning offering at this time. Join me in our gratitude prayer. Open our hearts, loving God, to receive all you have to give us, and then open our hands to give it all away. Shape us into a generous people. Teach us to live by your grace and for those you love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 410 in the New Century Hymnal, "If You But Trust."
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy south winds up around 35 miles per hour with highs in the lower 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 40s. Rain, even some thunderstorms on Monday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies in mid-50s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Currently 49 degrees.